The topic I have today kind of ties in, it does tie in very much with the day we just kept as Thanksgiving Day, but in a little bit different way, a different approach of looking at it. How many of us have heard the following phrases? You deserve a break today. Yeah, if you've been around for years, McDonald's, that is their slogan, you deserve a break today at McDonald's. Or maybe car commercials where you're watching the car commercials and they said, you need this, or you deserve it. You deserve to have this. There's song lyrics that says, you deserve a break today, so get up and get away. Bank ads and heating and cooling ads, other ads that state, you deserve better. What you have is not good enough for you. You deserve better. How about some common quotes? And these are from various authors because there are so many that are similar or exactly the same. The moment you start to wonder if you deserve better, you do. If you feel like you deserve better, it's because you do. Or tell yourself that you deserve better and move on. Always know the difference between what you're getting and what you deserve. So what you're getting may not be what you deserve. And again, this idea about deserving more. Now think about these as we go through these because it is a mindset. And in some ways, that is taught. That's an attitude. Well, you need to put yourself up there because you deserve better than what you have. From Inspirational Women on Twitter, respect yourself enough to walk away from anything that no longer serves you, grows you, or makes you happy. Walk away from it all if it doesn't make you happy. Now, is that a wise way to handle things? To think, well, it's not what I deserve better, walk away. I want to read from an article of 2013, this is by Richard Brand. The idea that we are entitled, that we deserve what we get, or that we deserve even more than what we already have, has a horrible impact on our ability to be grateful and thankful for what we have already been given. If we think, well, I deserve better, I deserve more, it changes our approach to gratitude. There is no way anyone in the developed world can claim to deserve the life he has. And those in the developing world deserve the life that they have. All we can do is say thank you and be humbled by the immense blessings that we have been given and that we did not earn, and to enjoy what we have in the constant unpleasantness of, without the constant unpleasantness of thinking that we have been cheated or denied something that we were supposed to be given. So he said, learn to be thankful, learn to humble ourselves and realize we didn't earn what this country has to offer. Those were blessings even that God gave to us, as we heard in the opening prayer, through Abraham. But it's a mentality that we recently discussed. It's not fair to look at life and go, well, it's not fair. Or as children, you get onto your children and they go, that's not fair. They got more than I did. Or it's not fair. I shouldn't be in trouble. It's a similar attitude what Satan had at his rebellion. Well, it's not fair. I want a throne. I want to ascend, or I want these things. And we see people sometimes even doubting God's way of life and getting upset with others who continue to do evil and prosper and go, here I am, I'm trying to live God's way of life, and they're going out and doing some of the worst things I can think of, and yet they still prosper. That's not fair. Well, we can't think that. We can't have that mindset, but that's easy for people to fall into. In this country, we have people on welfare who state, well, you should get as much as you can from the government because you deserve it. You deserve to get as much welfare as you can without having to work. I want to tell you a story about something that I experienced years ago, a good lesson for me. I was fresh out of Ambassador College, 21 years old, and I come back to my local area, and my pastor was generous enough to give me some opportunities, and one of them was being festival advisor for a congregation at that time of about 250 people. He said, I want you to be festival advisor. And as we progressed through the year and as we got closer to the feast, he said, I want you to handle the church assistants this year. So anybody who's on church assistants, you're going to deal with them. And one of the first ones I want you to do, he said, we have somebody who's received church assistants for the last 5 or 6 years. I want you to go out and talk to them and explain to them that, you know, since they do things on the side, since they have a side business and they have an income, that we want them to save at least $50 this entire year. And if they can save $50, we'll give them all the rest that they need for the feast. And I thought, oh, great, 21-year-old, and I'm going to go out and tell somebody, your festival assistance is changing. Well, the response was, I've never had to contribute anything to get church assistance, and I shouldn't have to do anything at all to get it now. And the first visit was, I don't want church assistance, and that, you know, I'm not even going to bother. And of course, then realized after time that that would prevent them from being able to go to the feast. But that was a sense of entitlement that I've never had to do anything to receive church assistance. And again, you don't. It's given to you. But it shouldn't be a sense of entitlement or I deserve something like that, or I deserve what should be given to me. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. There's another instance of this type of attitude of entitlement. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 20. And in verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his field. Even here in California, that still happens today, where individuals know if you line up here, they come by and they'll hire workers. Sometimes they even do that at the Lowe's or Home Depot. People will stand there and wait, ready to go to work. And just like here, he went out early to hire laborers for his vineyard. When they had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever's right, I will give it to you. So they went. And he went again about the sixth hour of the day, and about the ninth hour he did likewise. So about 3 o'clock in the afternoon now, and he went out and he said, there's still people standing idle. And then about the 11th hour of the day, this is about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So he said, about the 11th hour of the day, he went out and he found others standing idle, and he said to them, what have you been standing here idle all day for? Why aren't you working? They said, because no one has hired us. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when the evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last and then going to the first. When those who came, who were hired about the 11th hour, so they only worked about 1 hour of the day, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, it says they supposed that they would receive more, for they likewise received each a denarius. The original word for supposed here is a word that means implied that through law they would deserve more. So they supposed, they thought, well, by law, just by the law of nature, by the law of things, if we work 12 hours, we deserve more than what we agreed for. We deserve to have more than what this individual who only worked 1 hour received. But they thought that they deserved more. So when they received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. They said, we've gone through this entire day. We've worked hard, and you gave us a denarius, and they worked 1 hour at the end of the day, and you still gave them one. We deserve more, or that's not fair. Now, those who have been in the church sometimes 20, 30, or 40 years, I've heard comments from individuals that said, we've been in the church so much longer, if the end comes, we should have more in the kingdom of God because we've put in 40 years and these new people that are coming in have only been here a year or two. So we deserve more. And this story comes to mind, or did come to mind when I was hearing that many years ago. That saying, well, you know, because I've been here longer, I deserve to be given more. And again, we don't deserve any of it. God tells us everything belongs to Him. So if everything belongs to God, what is it that we deserve? Today's message is about entitlement. Entitlement. Merriam-Webster dictionary of the word entitlement says it's a state or condition of being entitled or being right. A right to benefits specified especially by law or contract. A government program that provides benefits to members of a specified group and funds supporting or distributed by such a program. And number three, which is the most common definition, a belief that one is deserving or entitled to certain privileges. Well, I should be entitled to that. I deserve that. I've put in my time, or I belong to this group, so I deserve to be able to get as much as I can out of it. Many today have that golden spoon mentality, no matter what class they're in. Well, if I deserve the best, and they're told over and over in society and in advertising, you deserve better, you deserve the best, don't settle for anything but the best, and if you don't have it, move on, as that one quote says, because you deserve better. But there's a mentality of having what we don't have, or feeling that we deserve it. And we live in an age of entitlement. Teenagers, and even younger than that, sometimes feel entitled to allowance. Well, my friends get allowance, or they get this much allowance, and so I deserve an allowance. When I was a kid, we got allowance when my parents had it, and didn't when they didn't. We didn't deserve it, and they made that clear. This isn't something that, you know, yes, you have chores, and if you don't do those, you won't have an allowance. But your allowance is not something that you automatically get and you deserve and you're entitled to. Maybe it's today, it's cell phones. You know, I'm entitled to a cell phone. All my friends have them. Everybody has to have a cell phone. How else am I going to be able to do social media if I don't have a cell phone of my own? Are you entitled to a cell phone? When we were younger, when I was a teenager, we didn't have cell phones. Or pagers, or this is even before the giant wireless phones that came out with the giant antenna. We were entitled to a quarter, and when you had to call home, you found a payphone and used that quarter. So that's what we were entitled to. We didn't say, well, we want one of these giant phones that you carry around, or the ones that were in the cars that actually looked like a regular phone that was attached by a cord. Now, we didn't deserve any of that, and we weren't entitled to it. Our parents provided it as what we needed. Now, I say a quarter. I remember even going back further than that when you could call with a dime. Putting a dime in, and then after about 2 minutes, minute or two, it said, you need to put more money in or the phone call will be shut off. That's living in the past. That's older things that we've gone through. Teens feel entitled to a new car when they start to drive or when they turn 16. I just saw something on Facebook recently. They said, what was the first car that you ever had? Or what was the first car that you were given when you started driving? My first car, when I turned 16, I had been driving. We lived in the country, so I drove on the dirt roads for a while and then on the back highways. But when I turned 16, I was actually given my first car. It was a 1966 Ford Galaxy four-door. I was born in 1966, so the car was as old as I was, and it looked it. It was faded, had bald tires on it, and took about everything I made to keep it running and pay insurance on it. My mom and my stepdad bought it for me from one of our relatives for $200. So you can imagine, this wasn't a Porsche. It wasn't, well, I deserve better. Mom and Dad, I deserve better than this. I want a better car. No, I looked at that as, I don't have a car. This is beautiful. As an old four-door Ford Galaxy. But people, even as teens and young people, we can think, well, I'm entitled to it. It's just expected. People start or restart in the workforce, and they feel like they're entitled to start at the top. Well, I'm changing careers, but I've always been at the top of my career, so I want to start in another career, but I want to start at the top. I don't want to work my way up. I've already been through that once. I want to start at the top. People who don't like their jobs feel entitled to unemployment when they quit, and they feel that they should be given handouts until they find something that suits them. Now, many will say, well, I know I have to turn in jobs, and I just turn in these because I haven't found what I really want to do yet. And so they just keep receiving unemployment until they find what they really want to do, which sometimes that can head in the wrong direction. The wealthy, the stars, the celebrities feel entitled to special treatment from businesses or from the legal system. Don't you know who I am? I should be entitled to some of these things. People sue other individuals for over the smallest things, and they're told, you're entitled to compensation. If you've had something happen to you, you're entitled to compensation, and you deserve it. We even see this sometimes in the church, as we see individuals serving in a congregation, but then making a statement that, well, I've served here, shouldn't that count for something? I've been serving here for years, I've earned something, haven't I? Well, it's like, well, are you saying you're entitled to ordination, or are you titled to something else because you've served? As Christ says, you have your reward. You served, you were noticed, that is your reward for those who seek that. But if we're serving and we're expecting something in return, if we're saying, well, I've put my time in, I deserve something from it, or I deserve respect from that, then the attitude of entitlement is present. I want to read from an article, Entitlement, or the Entitlement Attitude Makes It Impossible to Be Happy. This is from November 21st, 2016. So this article states, entitlement is, one, the condition of having the right to have, or to do, or to get something. And two, the feeling or belief that you deserve to be giving something. This is what entitlement is. The author goes on, entitlement is the opposite of gratitude. Now, we just came through Thanksgiving. One day a year where I won't say the entire nation stops and gives gratitude. This year, Black Friday started on Wednesday night in some places, Thursday morning at 6 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day, and runs through Monday. People are more focused on it's time to shop and get things. It's time to go out and buy. It's time to get what I want early on. But entitlement is the opposite of gratitude. To think, well, I deserve something, instead of I'm thankful for what I have. And again, hopefully we've been through that this week and realize how much there is to be thankful for. But we just quickly came through those days, and now even today, tomorrow, and Monday, they call it Cyber Monday, buying all the things online. But some of the stores have even opened up their stores and continue Black Friday through these days. And there are certain areas of the economy where they say the Thanksgiving weekend, just that weekend, not the entire month of November, but Thanksgiving weekend brings in 40% of the income of some of these businesses in one weekend. Now, some individuals, again, forget about gratitude, and they focus on, you know, or they are grateful. They're grateful for what they have, and then turn around, and now I've got to buy. I've got to get something for somebody else. I've got to have again. The article goes on. He said, it is a greedy, self-serving, I deserve it attitude about life. He says, what do you and I deserve? The author says, I tuned into the internet where I found, you deserve love. You deserve happiness. You deserve peace and comfort. You deserve better. You deserve a house, a car, and stuff. And you deserve to do what you want. Entitlement, he says. Entitlement says, I want what I want, and I want it now, and I deserve what I want. Now, there's a lot of difference between wants and needs. And there's a lot of difference between having and being grateful for it, and having, but it's not enough. Or having this idea of I want more, and I'm worth it. I deserve more. He says there's a problem with entitlement. The only guaranteed outcome from the entitled way of thinking is dissatisfaction and unhappiness. If we're always looking and always saying, well, I deserve better, then you're never going to be satisfied with what you have, or as Paul says, to be content with what you have. The only guaranteed outcome from entitled way of thinking is dissatisfaction and unhappiness. Because as you acquire and as you gain, you're always going to say, well, if I deserve better, even what I have now, it's better than what I had, but I still deserve better. There's always something more out there that I deserve, and I should go after it. He concludes by saying, the best way to get over living with a greedy, self-serving, I deserve it entitlement attitude is to stop thinking about ourselves and start caring for others. Which is what Scripture tells us, that don't put yourself up, don't have pride, but rather turn around and care for the needs of others. I want to read a quote by Sarah Churchwell. People who are given whatever they want soon develop a sense of entitlement and rapidly lose a sense of proportion. They lose a sense of what is balanced and what is right. Another unknown author says, entitlement is a delusion that is built on self-centeredness and laziness. Usually if a person says, well, I'm entitled to something, or I've earned it, or I deserve it, it's either self-centeredness or laziness. Some don't want to work for things. Others don't want to work, and they say, well, I deserve it, so why should I have to work for it? I already deserve it. But it's a narcissistic view of life. There's a quote by Steve Morabelli. It says, and this is talking about relationships. He says, service and gratitude will fuel your relationship. Service and gratitude will fuel your relationship, but entitlement and expectation will poison it. Think about that in any relationship, whether it be with our friends, whether it be with church members, whether it be with our mates. If we have an attitude of service and gratitude, we want to serve and we're appreciative of what we have. It fuels a relationship. But entitlement and expectation. Well, I'm entitled. You should do this for me, or you're required to do this for me, or I expect you to do this, and that's what's going to make me happy. He says that is a poison to a relationship. So service and gratitude, turn around and fuel it. Matthew 20, verse 26 tells us, however, it shall not be so with you, but whoever desires to be greatest among you, let him be your servant. It's from the modern King James, and it says, whoever desires to be chief among you, let him be your servant, or let him be your slave, as the modern King James Version states. So he said, if you desire to be greatest, learn to serve. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, don't be anxious for anything, but by everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. He says, don't have anxiety about things or what you don't have, but with thanksgiving, with gratitude. So this idea that Steve Morabelli mentioned, service and gratitude fueling relationships, over and over, we see those two things going hand in hand. Service and gratitude. Being a servant and showing thanksgiving. How many times in life have we heard or said from an individual, or even may have been ourselves saying it, that God's just not blessing me right now? I've been in the church going on 48 years. I've heard that quite often. I don't know why, but I just feel like God isn't blessing me right now. When we think about that, we should be asking ourselves, really, is that what I think? Is that true? We live in one of the wealthiest nations of the world. Of course, we know by prophecy and by what we see, that will change. It's not always going to be that way. We have food on our tables, not begging or stealing for food. In fact, David talks about that in one of his psalms, Psalm 37:25. He said, I have been young, and now I'm old. He said, I've lived my whole life. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He said, you have never forsaken those who are seeking you, and they've never had to go out and beg bread. God provides the food that we need. You're most likely not in the hospital or suffering from a major illness, and yet God is not blessing you. We have been called out of the world, which is a blessing beyond any other physical thing that we could imagine. God has revealed to you the mysteries of the kingdom of God, things that kings and other individuals have sought after and have not obtained, but God has revealed them to you and given them to you. You're able to keep the Sabbath without attack or abuse, and we again know that it will not always be that way, but today, and the blessings we have and what we've been given, we're able to keep the Sabbath in peace. God has healed you, or at least protected you from diseases and things that are around the world. We were able to attend the Feast of Tabernacles because we obeyed the tithing laws and followed God. And yet to say, well, I just don't feel like God is blessing me. Are these things that we are entitled to? Well, God called me out of the world, so I'm entitled to keep the feast. I'm entitled to be free of illness. I'm entitled to financial gain because God called me, and those are promises that God gave to me. I hope we never get in that frame of mind. It's a prime example of ingratitude and the example of entitlement. That I'm a part of the church of God, I'm a part of the body of Christ, and so I deserve better than what I have, or I deserve more. Many of you will recognize that mentality of what was once termed the health and wealth mentality. Doing it for those reasons, for health and wealth. And I'll explain that to those of you who may not have heard that phrase, or the health and wealth mentality, that when God calls you into the church, he promises, you know, you're not going to have the sicknesses around you, that if you tithe, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it, or if you follow my way of life, you will be blessed. And individuals took that as, hey, if I live this way of life, I'm going to have health and I'm going to have wealth and I'm going to have it now. That this is what I'm going to receive. But they thought, well, if I had this calling, I have the promise given to me of wealth. And so individuals would start following God's way of life, and they did begin to prosper. But then if somebody else was suffering, they would say, well, they're not prospering, they're not healthy, or they're sick, so they're doing something wrong. They're not following God because they're sick. And if they would follow God, they would be like me. Got the health and wealth mentality going on. From an article, 16 signs that you may have a sense of entitlement complex. This is by Alethea Luna. Some typical examples of narcissistic sense of entitlement behaviors include the following. It says, these are only a few illustrations, but they are countless stories, or there are countless stories out there that both exemplify the passive-aggressive disregard for others. And that's what a sense of entitlement does. It disregards others and said, it doesn't matter what other people have or what other people need, I deserve or I am entitled to. And so it is a disregard for others. But these are the sense of entitlement symptoms. She goes on and says, by now you may have been wondering, do I have a sense of entitlement? And hearing some of these things, it may have brought back some ideas or things that may have happened to you or that you've seen happen. Like anything in life, there is a spectrum, and while you may not be a full-blown narcissist or have a borderline personality disorder, you may exhibit a certain level of selfishness that makes other people's lives hard. If you have a sense of entitlement, the symptoms include the following. And she goes through 16 symptoms, and I want to read through some of these because it is a reminder of some of the things that happen. You impose unrealistic demands on your family, children, friends, acquaintances, employees, or employers. Unrealistic demands. Number two, you tend to feel sorry for yourself if things don't work out the way you want it. And I mentioned this a few months ago in a sermon, talking about, well, you go a year or two with no problems and you have a flat tire on the freeway and you're going, why me? Why does this happen to me? Feeling sorry for yourself if things don't work out the way you want. Or self-pity. Or openly advertised in a melodramatic, attention-seeking way. I didn't get what I want, so I need to go tell everybody I didn't get what I want, so they then at least I have feeling coming from other individuals. Number three, people have called you a bully, manipulative, ruthless, egotistical, vain, or a liar. Number four, you believe that you deserve happiness and will go to great and sometimes extreme lengths to ensure that happiness, and that it happens often at the expense of others. If I deserve happiness, I'm going to go after it, even if it is at the expense of another. Number five, you punish people when they do not do what you want, either passively, the silent treatment, gossiping, spreading rumors, or aggressively, by shouting, verbally, and physically abusing someone. Number six, in order to succeed in life, you believe in going to any lengths. Now again, in society, we're told, do everything you have, or everything you have to get to the top. You deserve it. You deserve better. You deserve the pinnacle of whatever's out there. And again, we want to strive for success, but not to have this type of attitude. Number seven, you constantly see other people as competition or threats. Number eight, you tend to exhibit many double standards in the way that you behave, interact with other people, as in, well, I can be late and forget my duties and my commitments to you, but you can't, and I can treat myself, but you can't. I can abuse and disrespect you, but you can't do that to me. I deserve better. Number nine, you tend to take more than give in friendships and relationships. And again, what we read earlier in some of the articles and what Scripture was telling us is if you have the attitude of service and an attitude of thankfulness in your relationships, it's going to fuel it. It's going to help those relationships. But if we tend to take more than we give, if we focus on ourselves, and as Mr. Armstrong used to say, there's a give way and a get way. You focus on the get way, or focus on serve me, help me, give me what I want, then, as it says here, it will destroy a relationship. Number 10, you tend to look out for yourself and your needs and your desires more than anyone else 100% of the time. I come first. Number 11, you have a hard time negotiating or compromising. If you don't want to compromise, it's because you deserve better, or you deserve what you're asking. Number 12, you have a deep-seated conviction that you have priority and should always come first, even at the expense of stepping on others. Number 13, people always seem to be offended or upset by what you do or say, as you bulldoze individuals, as we say. Number 14, you generally think that you're better or more important than other people, and other people should see this and unquestionably respect you. Number 15, you crave admiration and adoration. And number 16, you like to assert your dominance or superiority over others and find it as a second nature. That's quite a list. 16 things that she lists that if you go through and you experience these things, that is a form of entitlement. Are all these things what we deserve? What does God's word say that we really deserve? Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. If we're going to put things in perspective and look at God owning and possessing everything, and it all belongs to Him. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now he says, the wages, what you have earned, what you deserve for what you put in. Those are wages. The wages of sin is death. Now, we read the story where somebody worked for a denarius. Now, they did deserve a denarius. They worked for the time period that they were told that they needed to work, and they were promised a denarius. That was their wage. They did earn that. But they were saying, well, they only worked an hour, so we deserve more than our wage. Here, God says the wages of sin is death. The wage or what we earn or what we deserve for sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. That's a lot different than saying, well, I deserve better or I deserve more. Romans 3:23 says, everyone has sinned and falls short of the glory of God, and all need to be made right with God. So if we all fall short of the glory of God, all have sinned, then everything that we have earned, individually and collectively, we earned death. That was something that we did deserve. That's what we earned through our actions, through our behavior. But it also says that the gift of God, or the free gift of God, is eternal life. Now, a free gift is not something you deserve, is it? If it's a free gift, it's not something you earned. It's not something you deserve. It's not something that you're entitled to. It is a free gift. And that is eternal life. Now, we also have to consider what God does say will happen when we begin to live His way of life. And this is why many swung to the opposite end of the spectrum and said, well, if God promises blessings, then if we live this way of life, I'm going to be healthy, wealthy, wise. It's all going to be there for me. And did it for those reasons. But God does promise, if we do live that way of life, there are certain things that will come our direction. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 9 says, if you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of the finger and a malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and to satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always, and He will satisfy your needs in the sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. So God says, if you turn around and you begin to focus on others, and you focus on service, and you focus on taking care of other people, He said, then your light is going to rise in the darkness. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be satisfied with your needs. Now, He doesn't say you're going to be satisfied with every time you say, I want more, or I deserve better, it's going to be given to you. He said He'd be satisfied with your needs. Philippians 4 says something similar. It says, my God will use His wonderful riches because it is His. And hopefully we have that attitude of understanding that when we say, well, we're thankful for what we have, everything we have is His. God will use His wonderful riches in Christ Jesus to give you everything you need. Everything, again, you need. It doesn't say everything you deserve. When we think about what we deserve, we really don't want what we deserve, do we? The wages of sin is death. That's what we have earned, and that's what we deserve. But God says, I will give you everything you need. Glory to our God and our Father forever and ever. Amen. We have to give credit where credit is due. We don't deserve, and we are not entitled to the things that God has given us. And again, going through those list of things personally, our calling, the understanding, the truth, all the physical blessings and all the needs are taken care of. And we should be grateful for those and not be in this attitude of expecting it or deserving it. Another quote by Steve Marabelli says, when we replace a sense of service and gratitude with a sense of entitlement and expectation. And the reason why I'm focusing on this today is because we just came out of an attitude or focus on gratitude and thankfulness to God. But we see the world immediately start diving into what can I get, or what are you going to get for Christmas, and what can I buy? What is it that I can obtain? And we have to be careful of this attitude. But he says, when we replace this sense of service and gratitude with a sense of entitlement and expectation, we quickly see the demise of our relationships, of society, and of the economy. He said that attitude of having a sense of entitlement and expectation destroys not only personal relationships, but it destroys our families, destroys society, destroys economies, because everyone is basically living that get way of life. Entitlement has a lot to do with pride. And when we think of being entitled or I deserve it, we can see that sense of pride in individuals. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 7. Luke 14 and in verse 7, he says, he told them a parable to those who were invited, and when he noted how they chose the best places, he told them something. Here, they were invited to a meal, and individuals were choosing the best places. I don't know if you, at Thanksgiving dinner, if you had name tags and people sat at particular places, or if everybody, most of the time now, people don't want to sit at the head of the table because they feel conspicuous, so they try not to sit at the head, and then somebody ends up getting put there. But here, they chose the best places. When you were invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place. Now, you could say, well, I deserve it. I expect to be at the best place because do you not know who I am? Lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. You can say, well, I'm entitled to the best. I'm going to take the best seat. He said, well, what if one more honorable than you comes? And he who invited him comes and says to you, well, I know you're already sitting down, but give place to this man. Give place to this one who deserves to sit there, because I'm asking him, I'm honoring him by sitting there. Then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. You can almost picture somebody kind of slinking down and going to the back of the room and taking a seat now at the back of the hall or back of the table. He says, but when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place. Don't expect the best for yourself. So that when he who has invited you comes and says, friend, go up higher, then you have glory in the presence of all those who are sitting at the table. If you go in and you say, well, I don't want to take the best seat, just let somebody else have that. I don't mind sitting here. I'm just lucky to be at the dinner or thankful to be at this meal. But then he says, no, I want you to come up here. And everybody sees it. He wants you to sit up here by him, or wants you to sit by the guest or the host. Again, it is an honor. And he says, you will be honored by all those sitting there. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Entitlement is about exalting the self, promoting the self and saying, as what entitlement or even quotes about having and deserving the best, that I deserve it, I earned it, I am entitled to the best. And again, that is a common attitude of today. But God says, if you exalt yourself, if you put yourself first and you have a sense of entitlement in your approach to life, you're going to be humbled. But if you humble yourself, he says, there'll be a time when you're exalted. There's a time that you're going to have better than what you have, but it's when he gives it to you, or he gives you that exaltation. That's usually where the problem is. It's not that a person isn't blessed, but it's that a person wants more than what they've been blessed with. So we need to develop a better attitude of thankfulness, not one of entitlement. And again, coming out of a time that we look at Thanksgiving as a time of giving thanks to God, and we should, being thankful for family, showing appreciation for family, those are attitudes of service to others and enjoying the time with others. But when we turn around and then go back into an attitude of entitlement or expecting things, it changes. And God says it's important. Not only do we have this attitude, but we teach it to our children. And Deuteronomy 6 talks about teaching those things to your children. When you rise up, when you lie down, give them the right perspective on life and not a sense of entitlement. We teach responsibility to our children, teaching them to earn things, teaching them humility, self-discipline, selflessness. Again, these are attitudes that go along with the opposite of entitlement. We help them to understand that the world does not revolve around them now, so that they will not be shocked that it doesn't revolve around them later. If you teach them as they grow up and they say, well, I deserve it, or all my friends have it, or I deserve better, then you teach them the right and proper way, because when they get out into the world and they go into their first job and their boss says, well, this is where I want you to work. Well, no, I deserve better. I need to be in a higher position. Or I was the team captain on my basketball team in high school, so I want a better job. I want to better position, that they don't go through life expecting it. And again, hence this idea that the world, teach them that the world doesn't revolve around them now. And as young people grow up, that has been drilled in them through advertising. It's been drilled in them through the motivation of teachers at school saying, you deserve better, you deserve the best, you deserve all of these things, instead of you can have these things and you can work towards these things. The next time we begin to think, I deserve something, or I deserve better, or I'm entitled to something, stop and think. Change that focus. As Paul said, learn to be content with the things that you have and focus on the needs of others. Show gratitude and continue to show thanksgiving, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but show gratitude and thanksgiving and avoid this particular sin of entitlement.